Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. Today's episode focuses on 2006's The Barbie Diaries.
Woo! We love an early 2000s teen rom-com.
And I love diaries.
Especially magic ones.
Especially magic ones
given to people disappear.
Now, how many of us are newcomers to this one? Because I had never seen it before.
It seemed oddly familiar. Like, I had maybe watched it once, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah, I think I watched it one time at a friend's house, like, probably, like, early elementary school, so it's been a while.
I mean, when this came out, I was, like, six, and so I remember seeing the ads for it on later Barbie movies, but I was, like, don't care about it. I don't want to see it. I'm not interested.
No princesses.
Why? I always thought that the animation looked bad, too.
The animation does look bad.
Yeah. I feel like it was a step in the wrong direction, animation-wise.
Earlier, I compared it to, like, a 2003, like, computer-generated video game. Like, you'd go put some makeup and, like, dress up clothes on people.
Yeah. Well, and all of, like, the background characters had no, like,
facial depth.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no shading or anything. They just look very flat. Like, you couldn't really tell that they had noses.
I noticed even in the mall, there were some characters with no, like, visible eyeballs or mouths. So it was a little rough.
The scene where Kevin is creepily filming cheerleaders, they're all just, like, white bodies moving blankly in the background. And it's really creepy.
That is true. So do we want to do a plot summary?
Oh, yes, that's how we start with these things.
Yes, I was like, I feel like I'm missing something.
Okay. We're a little out of practice. Does anyone have a particular desire to do a plot summary? Because I can do it.
You can do it, Lily. We haven't heard one from you in a while.
Yeah, I think...
When I get to do them, they get a lot.
It's so fun, though.
Okay, so here's the plot of The Barbie Diaries. Actually, I don't know this one by heart, so I will have to reference the Wikipedia page. So Barbie's kind of like a typical American teenager, just like in any kind of teen film. Like, she's kind of nerdy. She's got her little group of friends, but they are not considered cool. So on the first day of school, she's got her two best friends, Tia and Courtney. Tia is like the one who wants to be the school president, and Courtney's like a cool drummer. And also Tia plays the keyboard, and then Barbie does vocals and guitar. They have a little band together. They also have a friend, Kevin, who they call Kev, who is really into making little stop motion movies and filming girls at cheerleading practice. Because he's a little creep.
That's not wrong.
And so it's set on we open on their first day of school. Coming back to sophomore year, Barbie has a huge crush on football dude Todd, who looks like Chad Michael Murray in any teen rom-com from 2003. Again, this make a lot of reference to 2003. Also Raquel and her two friends, Regan and Dawn, who are just like the mean, gossipy girls. Now, on this first day of school, Barbie decides she wants to be the anchorwoman for the school TV station, but Raquel beats her to it, and Barbie instead has to be her assistant, which sucks. But then Kev films Raquel dumping Todd, and Barbie sees that she has an in with Todd finally. She had a crush on him forever. And they start hanging out, and he asks Barbie to the fall formal. Barbie and her friends go to buy a dress at the mall, but while there, she finds out that Raquel has seduced Todd into getting back together with her. By the way, this is framed as something evil Raquel does to Barbie, but in reality, Todd is just its complicit in this situation that he's created. Seeing how rude that Raquel is to Barbie and her friends, the saleswoman, Stephanie, so talk some shit about the mean girls, and then offers Barbie and her friends a charm bracelet, and Barbie gets a bracelet that has something to unlock a secret diary. So she has her bracelet and the diary from Stephanie. Later on, they go back to talk to Stephanie about the diary because Barbie feels like it's making everything that she writes about come true. And Stephanie has disappeared, and it's implied that it's magic. Although everything that happens in the story doesn't necessarily have to do with magic, so it's a little confusing. But apparently this woman never actually worked at the store, which is maybe why she was giving stuff away to free to people. Suddenly, Barbie starts receiving love notes, and Tia and Courtney figure out at band practice one day that Kev has a crush on Barbie, but he wants to tell her in his own time. Of course, there's the classic teen movie mix-up, and Barbie thinks that it is Todd leaving her notes and not Kevin. So she starts crushing on Todd even harder. Then Barbie forms a plan. Barbie figures out that she can put lip gloss and highlighters and starts distributing them to the other girls so they can get away with applying makeup in class, because otherwise their like incel science teacher gets really pissy about people putting on lip gloss in his classroom. Such a crime. Then Barbie gets it in with the Regan and Dawn, the mean girl's friends, and decides to do an expose on how mean all the popular kids are to each other. So she starts hanging out with them. While she's doing that, she again starts getting sucked in to the world of the popular kids and starts ignoring her friends and missing events they're supposed to go to together. They're really mad at her because they're working on getting their band to play for the fall formal. That continues for like half the movie, and then it comes to a head, and Barbie is supposed to be showing her expose on the popular kids, which Regan and Dawn get mad at her about because they feel like she's betrayed them and been an awful person. But instead, Barbie decides to not show the clip, apologize to her friends for being mean to them and being a bad friend, and show some of Kevin's videos on the broadcast. So everything's kind of resolved there. But at gym class one day, Raquel decides to steal Barbie's special bracelet that she doesn't feel like she can, you know, be confident without. And then it's time for the formal. Barbie's like kind of sad, hanging out by herself. But her friends come over with the dress that she wanted to get when she was going with Todd. Kev's there too. They're all there to cheer her up. They all go to the dance together. Barbie's feeling nervous still because she doesn't have her bracelet. But Kev takes a string off her guitar and makes it for her, which, by the way, makes the guitar then unplayable. So not really cool, Kev, but she ends up using a different guitar anyway, so maybe it doesn't matter. Finally, everyone's at the dance. Barbie and crew get to perform. They bring down the house. They also get to write all the rumors that have been spreading around about them, including that Tia doesn't wash her clothes, which an interesting plot point. We'll get to that later. And they're beloved by the school. They're super, super popular now. Everyone thought they were so cool. After the song, Kev was ready to tell Barbie how he feels about her, but Todd comes up instead. So Raquel showed up to the dance with Barbie's bracelet on. She's like, I've got Todd. But Todd instead dumps her while Barbie's playing to go talk to Barbie instead. And she goes to thank him for leaving all those nice notes in her lock. And he's like, what are you talking about? And finally, Barbie figures out it was Kev all along leaving her the notes in her locker. So she goes to talk to him, and he's gotten her bracelet back from Raquel at this point, and he gives Barbie her charm bracelet, and they dance together, not the way that they let us dance in middle school, like the close-up way. And then the movie ends with Todd and Barbie having a movie night and eating baked ziti.
Exciting film. It's really, the plot is thrilling compared to some of, you know, the others we've had with Pegasus, and
it makes a lot more sense, I think, than the movies normally do. It's very much grounded in the kind of all the teen movie tropes.
Yeah, somehow I find this one the least realistic, because there's just a random woman who gives away free stuff. Not in my watch.
Yeah, I think the concepts could have been more realized. Like, I think, like, the same basic plot technically applies to, like, the movie, the DCOM Minutemen, or, like, Sky High, but there's, like, another twist to it. I think they could have put a more of a magic twist, because truly, everything that's supposed to be magic could have been done just in real life and without the diary. The diary makes no impact.
Like, is it supposed to be like the diary's not actually magic? She was just being weird.
Yeah, that's what I feel like it is. Because she's like, everything I write down just comes true. I'm like, maybe it's just like self-actualization.
You know, I've been doing, so I know normally we sometimes talk about some fun little like doll-related things before we get into the nitty-gritty, and I've been doing a little research why we were doing the plot summary about this line, and I found some interesting things. One, the band Charms actually was a band that Mattel and Shock Records in Australia physically created by doing a developing a singing contest for 8 to 14 year old girls who sent in videos of themselves singing, and then they made a band from like 4 13 year olds, and then they released an entire album of covers under the name Charms to sell with these doll lines. And then
interesting,
I think that's really like a little crazy that Mattel was like, we're gonna make a whole, and then that's, this is all they did. Like in Sydney, South Wales, Australia, this band existed for one album where they had their big song, This Is Me, which apparently it got to 57 like on the Australian billboards. And they also covered like a bunch of songs, like some Gwen Stefani, Hilary Duff, and also the Mamas and the Papas. It's a little weird. Yeah, it seemed, and Bananarama. And also apparently they were mentored by somebody who's a former Australian Idol contestant. I just think that's really interesting to add. And I don't know. This all leads to this greater fan theory, not fan theory, but this theory I have about it, about the existence of the doll line itself. So if everyone knows that about 2005, beginning of 2006 was the big, like when Bratz and Barbie were in like a legal battle over the Mycene dolls. And I feel like this doll line was sort of like Barbie's attempt to like be like, we may be losing Mycene soon due to legal battles, or like maybe we wanted to, maybe we need to have a new hip line of dolls that's really like fashion based, like in high school fashion, to replace them just on the off chance. Because it just seems a little weird that these two, because that's, you know why, because a lot of these dolls, if you like look at the physical dolls, they're very much like very very much like Y2K mid-2000s like fashion, and they're very much fashion dolls, and they have makeup and all these fun accessories. So it's very, and like, you know, these things that kind of the Mycene dolls had as well, but they're less clearly kind of ripping off Bratz. And I don't that, again, not confirmed, but I just think it's suspicious that this line came up so quickly, like while the lawsuit was going on. It just feels a little bit like a, just on the off chance that we no longer can use the Mycene dolls, we need to have a fallback with the Barbie Diaries.
Apparently there's like Mycene movies too. I didn't realize
Yeah,
that.
They're flash animated. They're not very long. I think there's only one that's like a length of a movie that's like an hour.
Interesting.
But the whole Mycene Bratz thing is fascinating. And I don't, this is just my theory, but it would make sense if they were in like a legal battle for their kind of like hip young fashion dolls to try to make a new line, and then kind of understand why after Mycene, like they like settle out of court, but why they're still able to keep, once they were sure they could keep the Mycene line, then why the Barbie Diaries like wasn't continued as a thing. Cause it seems like it was supposed to be like a continuation of a brand within the Barbie name, where kind of like how Mycene was, but they just didn't do that because I don't think they needed to once they had their like actual moneymaker, because like that was the Mycene dolls. That's just my fan theory.
So interesting, like learning about that kind of history. Another cool fact about this movie is that there is a single on it from Kesha called Invisible. It's funny, because we didn't notice it like in the movie, so we went back to listen to it, and it was like pre the dollar sign as the S phase of her time. I mean, I think this movie came out like 2 or 3 years before TikTok was released, but it was like a very kind of like, I don't know, oatmeal-y little like pop song, and not very like how we think of Kesha at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called Invisible, so you can already kind of get the vibes, like Y2K, like, I'm invisible. I think some of the words were like, I'm slowly fading away, just yeah, very emo. Yeah, but I mean, I like the one at the end, they played during the dance. It was like something like, we'll take over the world by noon. It's like, all right.
Hey, Gels, do you want to talk about some of the fashion a little bit? I think it was any kind of modern Gen Z Y2K fan's dream.
Yes, Lily, I can do that. The fashion was very much of its time. Very, like, kind of, like, it was much more kind of that mid-2005s, like, just lots of layering, low, little rise flare jeans, which are coming back into style, which I hate. I don't hate flare jeans. I hate low rise. Mid rise, fine, but low rise, gosh, no one's hips are that nice. And that's my opinion, and also a fact. I've seen hips. No
one. Oh, I feel like you have to have lower abs to even wear anything low rise.
A very specific kind of torso, which I don't think most people have. Only one in a million are born with a torso for low-rise jeans.
Yeah, I have a very short torso. It does not work.
Tell us in the comments what your torso's like. Don't do that. I don't
want to. Pull off the Cameron Diaz circa 2001 look. You want to hear about it.
Exactly. But it's, it's really, I think so. I actually kind of like some of the looks. Some of the things were like, okay, this, like, her dress that she wore to the final was not good. It was like just a mess of like mishmash patterns, and it was ugly. But like, I like some of the like belts and jeans she wore, and some of the tops that were kind of like printed, and those are cute. Like, I actually own a few things kind of like that myself. So I think I'm gonna say it was a solid like 5. Like, some of the stuff, but other things I'm like, that could work. I'm here for it. I did not like Stephanie, the strange woman who was selling them clothing. She made me uncomfortable.
Wasn't she basically the girl who said that Stephanie didn't work there, but without glasses?
Yeah, Stephanie just took her glasses.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Stephanie doesn't work here. Like, okay. You look exactly like Stephanie, though.
What are you talking about?
Right. Well, and what Stephanie said when she was like, what did she say? She goes, it's girls like that are the reason why I'm don't want to ever go back to high school.
I don't want to go back to high school. And I'm going to give you these charm bracelets because I understand you. And that makes us sisters. And it's like, woman, who are you? These are like 3 teenage girls and you are an adult woman working at a store. You can't say that to children. We're sisters now. Now take this free jewelry and write your deepest secrets in this diary I gave you.
There's only 2 adults with lines in this movie, and they're both creepy. Because then the news teacher, I don't know, he's just really messy. He's into the drama.
In the drama. Yeah, he was so mad when she didn't spill all the tea on air.
It's like, wow, you're not ruining your peers' lives.
Also, how did she set it up to play Kevin's weird stop motion thing? I feel like he should have just...
Yeah, she had them on DVD. I know, well, the teachers were like, I don't even know how to describe, the news teacher was just in it for spilling the tea. Like, Raquel, like, her news stories were like, she's like, I'm gonna get the dirt, and I'm gonna get to the bottom of it, and he's, like, applauding her, like, wow, you did such a good job.
And then they use, like, the school's budget to, like, get coffee and stuff, and it's like, no.
And pedicures.
And he just watches her. Like, Barbie gets, like, they're, like, reviewing, like, lattes in the area, and she gets, like, 24 lattes, and then Raquel's like, oh, they're non-fat, do it again, and the teacher's just sitting with her, and it's like, he's, like, complicit.
Makes sense to me.
We're not a fan of the news teacher. Yeah.
No, he was weird. He was super duper weird.
That was one of the weird kind of, like, camera choices they made when he was, like, talking to Barbie. First of all, he's like, you'll be Raquel's assistant, you'll do all the work of an anchor, but you'll not get to be on camera. And then he's like, can I count on you? And it, like, zoomed in on his mouth. And it, like, echoed, like, can I count on you? It's so weird.
Oh, this was just, it's like one of those things where I'm like, I'm trying to use our normal like way we talk about these movies, but because this one is so different, it's like, I almost don't know how to like even begin dissecting.
And I feel like they were trying to be tongue in cheek about it. Like they were trying to be like, oh, we're doing like a teen movie, but like we're in on the joke. And I don't know if that really just
It did not. Worked. I did not pick up on that at all, Lily. I thought this was just,
it was no.
Really weird. I will say.
Right.
I guess we should talk about Kevin because there's a lot to unpack with Kevin. Who I guess we could put under love interest, but I'm also putting over under villain because he was creepy and made me uncomfortable every scene. There is not a single moment I was happy Kevin was on screen. Like, Kevin just seems like a creep. Like, there's 2 big instances. Like, one, he's like, oh, I filmed Todd and Raquel while I was filming cheerleading, the cheerleaders practicing, and then his three female friends were like, why were you filming cheerleaders? And he's like, it's not important. Don't worry about it. It's like, that's so creepy. And then he walks in on his three female friends, the same ones from earlier, hugging. And he's like, oh, I came here just in time for a girl hug. What is a girl hug, Kevin? Why are you so excited to see one, Kevin? And it's like, Barbie ends up with him at the end. It's like, no, Barbie, don't end up. And also, he sends her this, he writes her these love letters, I guess, but they're really creepy and how badly written, where he's like, your smile is beautiful, or no, your hair is beautiful, and your laughter is disarming. And it's like, Kevin, go to therapy, Kevin.
Oh my God, that poem ends with, don't want to seem too scary. Maybe I'll see you in the library.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
No. It's so and then at the end, she's like, at the end, she's like, when they're talking about the letters, she's like, I should have known it was you. Who else would rhyme like scary and library? That's weird. And then she's like, but I like it. And she's just like, I like you being weird.
And I love it. He goes, you think I'm weird? And it's like, ew, Kevin. Gross, Barbie. You can do better than Kevin. But Todd actually seemed pretty okay.
Well, he was a little less than feminist in the opening scene, but to be fair, he did just get dumped.
Oh,
so maybe
yeah.
He was feeling a little anti-woman.
And, like, he seemed pretty, he just seemed like a big dumb boy who didn't know what was going on half the time, whereas Kevin seemed like a creepy pervert.
Yeah.
Did y'all get, like, strong Pretty in Pink vibes? I felt like Kev was just, like, very, giving me, like, ducky energy.
How dare you?
That makes sense.
That... Lily, back off. Walk a few steps down, okay?
I don't like Ducky.
That's insane. I can't do this with you. I guess the podcast over, okay? I don't think he needed to end up with Andy, but he's a good friend who just, okay, they had been friends since childhood. He was her backbone when her mother left them. You don't understand their relationship, Lily.
Okay, I like Ducky. I just Kevin don't like him as a love interest.
I think this is the second time Kelsey has walked away from the podcast.
I'm walking away.
Oh my gosh. I was re-listening to old episodes, and I was listening to the Fairytopia, actually, new episodes, the Fairytopia one that was just released at the time of our recording. And you said something about if someone ever gave you a Hue doll, you would cut them out from your life. And I searched high and low for a Hue doll to send you for your birthday.
Why do you
but
want
there was
me to cut you out of my life? And one, they know not to do that because that doll was disturbing.
I couldn't find anything that would ship to Ireland, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't. I would burn that thing. Get away. Wow.
Kind of cute, though. Okay, Kev says something in the last scene that I was like, now that you've explained the history of the Miocene Barbie Diaries Brat stuff, it makes a lot more sense. He said, Kev said, was about to leave the dance, and he said, this isn't really my scene. And I think that they put that line in there on purpose. You're like, this really isn't my scene.
This is less.
I noticed that.
That was good.
Less talking about the Barbie Diaries and more of us talking about the possible conspiracy behind the creation of the Barbie Diaries. And I think that's great.
It's all of the Bratz people watch this movie like.
They were like, oh, they're trying with us.
Okay.
Oh, I really like.
Oh, go ahead.
Some other quotes that I really liked was when, so Barbie towards the end of the movie loses her charm bracelet, so she can't write in her diary, and she's really distressed about it. So then she sits on a fence outside, and she has like a legal pad. She goes, "Dear yellow legal pad." It's like I'm sad for Barbie,
it's
but also.
It was a genuine laugh for me. That was good.
That was pretty good.
Oh my God, there were some great lines in here. Barbie said, how do you get the courage to be the girl in the garage in front of hundreds of people?
The girl in the garage!
We want t-shirts that say this.
Yeah,
I love that.
I was like, listeners, do you ever feel like the girl in the garage? You just can't go out and play in front of hundreds of people.
How do you get the courage?
How do you find the courage?
Oh, And then when Barbie gets like sucked into the Mean Girls drama, she's talking to Regan about Dawn, and she tells her, you know, the other day she IM'd me that she secretly thinks you're disgusting because you chew with your mouth open.
Oh my God, I didn't even hear the end of that part. I just thought it said that she secretly thinks you're disgusting without any more explanation. I was like, that's so aggressive.
Chew with your mouth open? No, also, yeah, that whole like plot line gave me like super big Mean Girls energy, just of like the triple call on the phone,
yeah,
talking exactly. about bad about each other, and like her missing her friends' events. I was like, this is like Mean Girls.
This is Mean Girls.
Yeah, they were clearly influenced. I mean, almost every teen movie like had some elements of Mean Girls. Like, you very rarely see any quote unquote Mean Girls in a TV show or movie that aren't like a trio. There's usually like the leader and then the two little like hench people.
Yeah. But even Mean Girls is inspired by other movies from the 90s, which are inspired by movies from the 80s, which are inspired by tropes from the 70s. And then really, nothing is original.
The silent films of the 1910s. Exactly. There was one Mean Girl and two henchmen.
That actually, I mean, kind of, yeah.
Can't see it, but we're acting it out.
We're acting out a fictional silent film. You'd all love it.
Is this, wait, was that the Maple Leaf Rag? No, what song did I just sing?
No, Entertainer. No, that's not. Yeah, is it the Entertainer?
It's Scott Joplin, yeah.
Yeah. We only know the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have done that in this film.
Oh my God. When Barbie is in the throes of her Mean Girl phase and she goes to Kevin and she says, Kevin, do you think I have fantastic hair?
What does he say? I forget.
I don't think he responds to it, but ironically, he does mention her shiny hair in his letter, so we know the answer is yes.
It's a funny shiny hair and someone. Disarming laugh.
Saying Raquel is also in this movie, which if you watch Barbie Life in a Dreamhouse, she's in that as well, but she's different because she's a blonde and looks 40.
All the Mean Girls
and all of her terrible all her friends look 40.
That's what happens when you're
yeah pregnant. Like one girl has a pixie cut, which isn't really like nothing's wrong with a pixie cut, yeah, but it's just looks. Usually not what the popular girls have,
to be fair.
Yeah, it was not very well done.
To be fair, most popular people I've known, they always look like they're in their 40s. Like in middle school, all the girls who were popular, I'm like, you look like a 40-year-old divorcee. Like, I think that. And if you knew me in middle school and you're listening and you know who I'm talking about, you, I still stand by that. You weren't very nice. So I think I can say it.
There was one girl at my 8th grade graduation that my grandmother leaned over to my mom and was like, is that someone's mom down there? She looks pretty young, but. She was just a tall girl with too much makeup on.
We all know a few popular girls who look 40, who looked 40 when they were like 13. And that's the real shame. And they still kind of look 40. So maybe when they're 40, yeah. 13.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I was very cool in middle school.
Yeah, Lily was super popular and cool and like hip.
Yeah, like, I was 10 years old. I was 10 years old in the 6th grade, and I sounded like this, which I know it's hard to imagine me having a squeakier voice than I do now. And I was still wearing clothes from Justice, and I had like embroidered jeans before it was cool again. I was really just bawling out.
So many boys. She was a heartbreaker. Yeah. She was just screaming at boys that they were breaking up in front of the school. Like, drama queen.
Alexander! I'm breaking up with you!
Lives in my head.
Constantly. That's actually a reference to a story from an earlier episode. So go back and check out Barbie and the Nutcracker. It's Coffee Grinder Boy. There you go.
But not the boy who asked Lily for feet pics. Different boy.
No.
No, different boy.
I have no other stories with that boy because I literally never spoke to him.
But he loved your feet.
He never saw my feet. He doesn't know enough to love them.
The way you said that,
your he says feet, aggressively.
Your hair is shiny and your feet are disarming. Lily, let me see the feet pics.
Okay, here's a couple weird things in the movie that we were kind of like, huh? They're interesting choices. They have a food fight. So like the when they get caught. Okay, I guess I'll say this first. Barbie accidentally highlights her book with lip gloss, and that's how she gets the idea for the highlighter thing. And that's her like first form of rebellion, which is weird. But then her and her friends get detention for that, and they have to clear off. They have to like wash all the dishes, which should be illegal, first of all. But then they start having a food fight with people's already eaten food, and it gets on their faces and stuff, and it's disgusting. Why would they put that in a movie?
I know. There is nothing about that scene that I enjoyed or even thought made sense.
It was deeply
like there's
unpleasant.
So many like yeah.
It was unpleasant.
Like the people who are hired to
someone's gonna have to clean that.
Clean the dishes. Like what did they do? Where did they go?
Where are
also, they? Like, the girls just didn't eat lunch that day. Like, and they were forced to not have a lunch period.
But I wanted to the fact that your concern like, is, where were the people who were hired for this job? Are they okay?
Where were they? Well, Lily was saying that, like, usually a third party is hired out. And so it would legal for them to do it.
This is so funny. No.
But also, there was no one else in there. It was only the three girls, which I also think is weird.
Like, no supervision. If it's punishment, you should be supervised. Also, they made a mess and didn't clean it up. So, like, probably someone who has to go in and do that.
Someone who's making, like, minimum
wage. So, they were
just
delinquents.
Yeah, so they're really the villains.
Teenage girls are always the villains.
Yeah, I bet. Teenage girls, they're horrible.
They talk about going to the Waffle House at one point.
The Waffle House is canon in Barbie lore, and that's amazing to me. That's right. Which is like, I'm a little bitter that I never got like a Waffle House playset, like Barbie in the Dream Waffle House.
That would be amazing.
I love that.
Really pink.
Life in the Waffle House.
You get it.
And, like, the yellow squares on the sign are all pink.
Like, and it, oh, my gosh. And you can get, like, a little Waffle House. Oh, it's great. And then you can press Barbie, and it can just be that vine where it's like, can I get a waffle? Can I please get a waffle?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, there actually is a Barbie waffle-making kit that came with Play-Doh, and you can put it inside and, like, close it and make, like, a little Play-Doh waffle. Inside, like a waffle maker.
But I want a Waffle House, Lily.
I know. We gotta. We'll buy one of those and then we'll brand it ourselves.
Yes. Mattel, yes. If you're listening, I think it's time we get a sponsorship deal. At this point, it's been long enough, so I think we should get our Waffle House just for us.
Yeah, it would be so easy to say, like, call it, like, the Pancake House or, like, the Breakfast House, the diner.
But they committed.
People know
like,
what you meant. People would know what you meant. It's so weird that they chose to do that.
I love it. I think they knew exactly what they were planning on doing. They're like, we're being sued by Bratz. We can't be sued by Waffle House, too.
They're not going to come after us for this.
Or maybe Barbie!
Maybe Waffle House funded the whole movie.
Oh, my
maybe.
God.
Conspiracy. There's a scene where Courtney, who is a Japanese-American character, sees hair chopsticks, and she calls in the store and calls them, oh, look, they have bejeweled Asian utensils for your hair.
I lost it. I couldn't handle that. I mean, it's so wrong, one, to have, like, your only Asian-American character have to deal with, like that's what she's interested in, but two, for them to call them bejeweled Asian utensils, like, you would just call them chopsticks. Like, they're just called chopsticks. Like, I said this when we were watching, but I'm like, imagine going up and being like, look at my silver European utensil, and it was just like a fork. Like, you wouldn't say that. You would just be like, this is a fork. It's its name. And now I'm going to put it in my hair like Ariel. But, like, I don't know. It's just so funny to me. Like, that's not, that's just, what a weird thing to say.
It's a strange
thing. Yeah, and then she proceeds to drum with them. Because drumming is, like, her only, like, defining feature.
Yeah, she has no other, like,
or, like, her only personality.
Also, there's one scene where she's like, and then I spent my whole summer learning how to do this. And she just goes, ding, clack, 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 clack. And then she just drops one, and it's, like...
Yeah, there's, like, a slow motion shot of the chopstick going up in the air, and then she fails to catch it. And that they spend 5 seconds of animation on, like, someone sat down and animated that for what? Someone probably spent, like, a month animating that 5 seconds for what?
Okay, maybe not a month, but okay. That seems a little much, Lily.
Yeah.
They spent their entire animation career crafting that 5 seconds. Also, Courtney, other than wanting to be president or her class president and not wearing and wearing her jeans weirdly, I guess that's all she had.
There's a whole plot line with Courtney.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, when they play the concert and before they open up, Tia's like, I need to make some things clear. I do wash my clothes. I do number my jeans. She goes, I do number my jeans, but that attention to detail is what you want in a class president. Like,
and after the concert, it's her explaining her system to the popular girls, and they're like, oh, would that work on underpants too?
And she goes, mm-hmm.
Who came up with this, and who said yes? Let's keep that in the final cut of the script.
I don't know.
We have precious minutes to make this movie, and that has to make it into the film.
I'm glad that. Then just it was bad. It was confusing.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is just filler, unrelated. Well, not unrelated. Related to Kelly Sheridan. I was watching a new anime that was like just. It was just something. I've been meaning to pick up or watch at some point. And she voiced a character in it, like one of the main characters. And I was watching it and I was like really freaked out because I was like, one of these people sounds like so familiar. And I couldn't figure it out for the life of me of the like through the dub voice. And then I looked it up and I was like, Barbie? What are you doing here, Barbie? This isn't your movie. This isn't for you, Kelly. But yeah, it just really took me off guard. I watched it over the Christmas break.
Stay in your lane, Kelly.
And also, it's like a very, like, it was just like, it's like not adult, like in a way, like it's inappropriate, but it like deals with like adult themes of like, things. And I was just like, Kelly, I don't like hearing you talk about sad. And like at some point, the character gets really like depressed and stuff. And I'm like, Barbie, no, it's okay. You're all right, Barbie. And like once I figured out it was her, I couldn't unhear it. It was just in my head the entire time. I was like, I can't watch this anymore. I can't listen to Kelly Sheridan if she's not playing Barbie. So it was nice to hear her do her role again in this movie. I was like, good, Barbie. Barbie's doing what she was meant to do.
The girl who voiced Raquel, Chiara Zani, I want to see if she also voiced Nori or Dahlia. Because she sounded like her.
Really familiar.
Now let me check her IMDb. It did. The Barbie movies didn't make it on her Wikipedia page. That doesn't mean much. Oh, she voices Mariposa.
Oh, we'll get there one day.
Yeah, she was Nori. She was Nori.
Oh, that's good. Not good.
I mean, and she was Dahlia, too. Okay. I'm a genius. Before she was Dahlia, she was female dancer in Reefer Madness, the movie musical.
Ooh, that's a good movie musical. I do like Reefer Madness, the movie musical. So I'll try to look out for her next time I watch it.
Female dancer.
Okay. I don't know what she looks like, so I guess I won't look out for her. Never mind.
Well, here's one little weird thing that I thought was funny. When Todd's like all broken up about Raquel dumping him, he's like sitting under Barbie's locker. She's like, oh, I got to get to my locker after she has like a fantasy sequence about him.
I forgot about this.
And then she just drops a book, like, and it doesn't even bounce off his head. It like hits him like in the eye. And, like, it was just like a random act of violence against Chad by the movie that I didn't really think was necessary.
What a way to describe that.
It was uncalled for.
Well, then she, like, makes a joke about it, right? Yeah. She's like, oh, you got, or, like, gotta get your nose out of the books or something like
and
that.
Todd
I
understand it. She was like,
oh. Todd's like, I have a black eye now. What are you talking about?
I think
about?
I have a concussion. I'm going to die. Okay. Ha, 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 Barbie. But, yeah, so it was a, overall, it was a movie that we watched.
Have any strong feelings about it. I thought I would be like reviled and it was just fine.
Yeah. I feel like it was very average in comparison to other like early 2000s teen movies.
And the fact that none of us seem to have any sort of nostalgia with it probably doesn't make us like excited about it. Mm-hmm. Like at least with the others. I have good memories. This I have no memories.
Well, and I think in regards to the, like, romance plot line, I feel like they could have done a better job of making Kevin, like, likable or endearing, because he was just kind of goofy and weird boy. And a little creepy.
Maybe uncomfortable. I would not feel safe with Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he was, like, he and Barbie had, like, kind of, like, a weird relationship for it to be romantic, I think. You know, because he was, like, he would tease her and then they would like
no,
I don't know,
it was weird.
I like them better as friends.
Yeah,
also, I think so too.
Likes girl hugs and you can't be with a boy who likes girl hugs like that. I'm so
right sweet. Well, and at the end of the movie it didn't seem like their relationship changed that much, like after they danced together, but then they cut to them watching a movie and it was like the exact same as like earlier in the movie.
Yeah, they went from N to Z. I don't really know
what happened there.
They watched a lot of movies, apparently.
Yeah, when did they watch all these other movies?
OPQRSTUVWXY. So they watched 12 movies between the first scene you saw and the last one. I almost feel like this was all just product placement. Barely, not even really for the dolls, but for the electronic diary. Barbie diary.
That one with it? Oh, yeah.
Those Definitely. Were prolific. Like, it was the main focus, I feel, of, like, the actual, like, trailer that they played in the other Barbie movies. But these things were everywhere.
Like, those diaries, like, I think they were probably also, like, those diaries. And then those, like, secret password diaries. Those were such a big deal. I remember those. I used to have the secret password one, but, like, it never would recognize my voice. So it'd be like, that's not the password. I'm like, it is, though. And it'd be like, and I'll put an alarm now. Beep! Beep! It's like, stop it. Stop it, secret password diary. And then be like, I don't know what to do. And it'd be like, you can try again in 48 hours. I'm like, I am a child. I have no concept of what that means. Like, I remember my first one got so mad at me, it just stopped working. So my mom tried to be sweetly buy me another one because she was like, you did really like it. And I was like, yes. And it worked for a while, but then it happened the same thing. Because I think my like password was a little, like purple elephant or something, because it was my favorite color and my favorite animal, and I could remember it. And I was like trying to say it to it, and it was like, that's not the password. I'm like, it is though. I don't know what you want from me. You're like, you have two more guesses. And then I would do it. It'd be like, that's not the password. And I remember that stupid little sound it would make when it was like, the alarm is going off now. Intruder alert! Intruder alert! And it's like, what toys were they selling us then? It was terrifying. And then I never got another one because the two traumatized me.
Okay, so how do we feel about the transition from like princess or like fantasy, like that kind of realm to like real world teen Waffle House?
I think if there had been more Waffle House,
how do we feel?
There was not enough Waffle House, which in its own way is a fantasy realm. So,
Alyssa? I just think like the storytelling and the lessons were totally different. So, like, I don't know, it didn't feel as special to me as other Barbie movies do because it really lacked those elements of Barbie like truly learning a lesson because she's still so young and like immature. I mean, she learned something, but I don't, you know, it doesn't feel the same as life-altering as, plus the stakes weren't as high. They were just
like,
trying to be
Barbie movies normally have, like, really intense stakes. Like, because they're kind of goofy and fun, you don't think about it, but it's always, like, Barbie has to stop genocide, or Barbie has to stop poverty. And like, yes, they're mascots. Yeah. Barbie has to stop, like, child marriages. Like, they're masked under these, like, you know, silly, goofy songs and colors. But if you really think about the plot, it's very intense. It's like, and now it's Barbie. We're like, the next one is what? The next one's 12 Disney princesses. It's like, Barbie has to keep her and her other 11 sisters from being murdered by their stepmother person. And also let her not kill their father. Like, that's intense. Like,
yeah. Barbie, right, and the UN seem to face a lot of the same global issues.
It was set up in the Barbie and the Rockers. Barbie is the UN. It all comes together.
It's all full circle.
And I just think when you're like compared to, like, let me get the, I think I have it up. Yeah. So like, yeah, like, so the last movie before this was Mermaidia, where literally it was Barbie has to do this or an entire species is going to get genocided. Like, an entire land is going to get eco-terrorism on it, and like, all these mermaids are going to die. Like, that was the risk. And then this one is, I don't even know what the risk was here. I think it was just me and my friends had a kerfuffle and Kevin is creepy, but I guess I'll date him. Like,
yeah,
like,
and nice, I like to Todd, but he dumped him. Me
and I think there's a reason they go right back to making the other movies. They're like, you know what,
yeah. And I feel like it made it not anything special.
Yeah.
Like, if I wanted to watch, like, an early 2000s teen movie, that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't be like, all right, so let's watch Barbie Diaries.
No. I do think later on, even though I know we're not there yet, like, we still have quite a few movies till we get there. But when they do things like A Mermaid Tale and, like, Fashion Fairy Tale, where it's, like, set in the real world with, like, fantasy elements, I think they start doing it better, but like, I just don't think, I think Barbie needs magic. Give Barbie magic.
Yeah. The only time where no magic works is Princess and the Pauper.
Yeah.
Though I think the like fantasy, royalty elements and like the high stakes kidnapping and everything just kind of makes up for it. And I guess like the coincidental thing of like, wow, we look like each other.
Yeah,
that's weird.
And also,
you know,
poverty, so much poverty. We're in a financial recession. Everyone's gonna die. I don't think until our like recent viewing of that for our podcast did I really realize how much poverty is such a theme of that film. Like,
yeah.
So it's everywhere, and I just think this film either needed more Waffle House or more poverty. That's my review. Those are my final review thoughts.
I agree.
Tell us in the comments below, what's your favorite thing, Waffle House or poverty?
I think when we started watching this movie, I asked a question, is this going to subvert any of the teen rom-com tropes? And it did not. It
and I went, no, subverted all of them. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
Well, you said, is there a chance that, you said, is there a chance that Barbie doesn't end up with Kevin? And we were like, no, zero. Negative 100%.
That's the only thing I know for certain is going to happen in this film.
So either we're geniuses or it was predictable and well-trodden.
I'm going to go with we're geniuses.
Yeah.
We're geniuses.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it.
We wrapping it up? Okay.
Yes. Oh, we get to do our thing.
Thank you for listening to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. Make sure to follow us on your choice of podcast hosting platforms or on our anchor.fm page. For any questions, comments, or Barbie movie insights you think we should or should have covered in this or any other episode, email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message on our anchor.fm page. Remember,
sometimes you just have to figure out how to be the girl in the garage in a crowd of and I love girls.
And you should be.
I love girls.
Yeah, I was like, and you should be concerned when your best friend is like, "Hey, I was filming at your practice,"
and he gives you no answers.
Remember, we need to talk about Kevin.
And Waffle House is canon.
Waffle House is canon. Woo!
See you next time when we do something else.
Oh wait, next time is
Princesses.
Is it? Oh, yes. Yeah. Tall Dancing Princesses. Yay. Finally.
Ah, 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 ding.